testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Today we're going to discuss, and that is, do you know there is a famine? Do you know there is a famine? And I'm taking this from the book of Amos, chapter 8. The book of Amos, chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 11 primarily. And probably 12 as well. But it's verse 11 that I really want to look at in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we desire and believe that your word will accomplish what it is intended for this day, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Do you know there is a famine? That's the question we're raising and looking at today. One of the reasons why the Philadelphian church, the seven churches in Revelation, the reason why the Philadelphian church has no fault, because it's kept Jesus' word and endurance. Let's just turn to this again to remind ourselves in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, which says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I think in the context of what we just read there in Amos chapter 8, which I believe speaks of the last days, and indeed we know this is happening. We see it around us. We are very aware that people do not really want the Word of God. They want an easy ride. They want to know that they are saved and that they will make it into heaven. But they fail to understand the spiritual fueling that is needed to walk in this life until Jesus comes or he takes you home. They fail to understand that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. And it's always the broad way that man will look for in his religious state. And if it were not for the grace and mercy of God, there go you and I as well. God has placed something within our hearts that we have understood that it takes the Word of God to enable us to be able to walk and overcome, because it's not done otherwise. And this again is one of the characteristics of the church in Philadelphia, those seven churches that John wrote, these seven Gentile churches. He wrote to the churches, and on this one, the Philadelphian church, there is no fault. He says in verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So there we see a promise of the rapture, the snatching away, on the basis that you have persevered, you've kept with it, you have not denied God's word or his name. Even though there may be few of us, we are weak, yet he says that is good enough for you to be preserved and kept from what is coming upon the earth, the great tribulation. And of course, there are many out there that would deny this. There are many who believe that the whole church is going through the great tribulation. That is where the church is going to be tried and tested and so on. Of course it will. But God is promising a way of escape. God promised this to Noah and his family, and he was faithful in building that ark. God in his mercy will always speak throughout all generations that judgment is coming. God warned Israel, but they would not listen. And is it any different today? No. Human nature doesn't change. We are seeing the same mistakes happening amongst Christendom that happened with Israel, sadly. And so Amos addresses this. You have preserved, you've persevered, you've kept with it, and that's the course of action in the face of difficulty and opposition with little success. That's what it means to actually persevere, to endure. It actually means, and it's interesting that the dictionary's definition of persevere means in the course of action, in the face of difficulty and opposition with little success. I was interested in what the dictionary had to say on that, and that's absolutely what we find ourselves in. Persevering in opposition, little success. It often looks negative, hopeless, ridiculous. Yet God commends that endurance, that perseverance, staying with the Word of God. And of course, Christ speaks that of the coming persecutions, the persecutions that are coming upon the world, the chaos, the rise of false prophets and teachers, which is prevalent. We've got them all around us. and they'll show considerable signs and wonders. The false prophet will do that. And there's going to be that temptation to escape all of this, to escape the trials, to compromise. And always when compromise comes, there's a denial of God's word. They no longer want that two-edged sword that pierces, divides asunder soul, spirit, joints and marrow. They look for an alternative. But you know something? The Bible shows us that there would be no excuse for those who couldn't stand before the Lord or who could not endure. We've already read it with the Philadelphian church. He says, you have little strength. So he knows we have little strength, and yet those that go back will have no excuse when they stand before him. That's what's so serious and so awesome about all of this. For example, what do we see in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So it means that in temptation, in great trial, when you feel you cannot go on, you cannot take any more, you've come to the end of yourself, which often happens. He says, he raises up his strength, his power, and he makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, he holds you in that until he's done that work, till the trial, the test has done that work, has built you yet more in the faith, and he brings you through. That's what they're for. So there are these promises that he gives. There's not a lot of hope for those who run away, who look for alternatives, because he's promised in his word. What does he say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We're talking today from Amos chapter 8. Did you know there is a famine? That's what we're looking at today. And he says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there we are in the trials and the tribulations. He has given us access to be able to come boldly into his presence and to call upon his mercy, his grace in time of need. And it is there. It is available. His mercy, his grace speaks of forgiveness, mercy, compassion. In other words, he knows how much you can take. That's what you call upon. It brings the presence and power of God into your situation, so that he will uphold you, he will sustain you, he will keep you. And not only that, but your trial, your test that you'll go through will work together for good, for the glory of God, and for your benefit also. So look how he turns everything in this life, how he may turn the enemy's trickery, affliction upon your life, how he tries to inflict you or destroy you. Yet God says, my mercy will turn that together for good. I will put the enemy to flight. And not only that, but I will use what he does to you. And I will bring my glory out of it. That is the miracle work of God's hand in our lives. So hold in there. Even though we feel we have little strength, we feel at times as though our prayers go no higher than the ceiling. Even though it seems that God has forsaken us or left us, hold in there, because God will vindicate. God is going to bless this little bunch of people who have little strength, but who are persevering, who are staying with God's word and will not forsake that word. That is what's going to exalt you. That is what is going to deliver you from the spirit of this age and what the enemy is coming in which to do upon the earth. Because as I said in a teaching recently, for a season it will look as though the Antichrist has succeeded in persecuting the Christians, the woman that is left. Now, we're not to judge those that will be left. That is not for us to do. God knows those who will go up in the first fruit rapture. And those that are left, that is not to be criticized. Even the foolish virgins, we're not to criticize. God knows, because at the end of the day, it's about salvation. It's about those who make it into the kingdom of God. And we're told that those that are martyred for the faith will come up under the altar. And they will rule and reign with Christ. So they will receive a reward when they are martyred by the Antichrist. But all we are to do is to be faithful, to press in by faith, and to believe that we are part of the first fruits rapture. Let God deal with what he has to deal with. Because as I've said before many times, there are many aspects I have counted out in scripture as I study it. There are at least seven aspects of the first resurrection. There are seven aspects to the first resurrection of those who will be raised up, and they're all there. So those that are left in the tribulation, the foolish virgins, the woman that is left, they will go through great martyrdom, because the Antichrist will make war not only with the church, the woman that is left, but also the remnant of Israel. There will be a purging, and it will look for a season as though he succeeded. You see, God knows how to get his remnant to put their ear to the word of God. He has a way of allowing and permitting believers, because they must have the word of God. You cannot separate the word of God from a believer, yet we know that there are many who do not want the meat of the word. They still just want the milk, and the milk will not sustain you. The milk of the word will not make an overcomer out of you. But God will have a way where the church will hear the meat of the word, even if they have missed out on the rapture. They will hear, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. That is what the scriptures tell us. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there we are, the Philadelphian church is commended because she perseveres in all the opposition, in all the negative that we are seeing around us at the present time. Hallelujah. You see, there's going to be a temptation, isn't there, to escape trials or to compromise on the word. But as I've said, there's no excuse. And when they stand before the Lord will require why it is they ran away when the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us to preserve and keep us in this walk. Well, very well, let's turn back to Amos, because I felt that that was a good introduction into the understanding of what Amos is saying here. So he says back in chapter 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." So, what are your ideas of a famine? What are your thoughts when you speak of a famine, or you hear on the news that there is a famine, although there are famines around the world, and indeed there are? Well, our idea of a famine is generally a lack of food, or is this a plague of locusts that have attacked the crops, or a country, a nation hasn't had rain for a very, very long time. These are all the ideas that come to our mind when we think about a famine. But Amos actually says that the worst kind of famine is hearing the word of God. And there he stresses it right at the end in that verse of hearing the words of the Lord. That is the worst form of famine that hits man. And yet, that is the one that's never referred to. That is the one that even very few Christians really understand or proclaim or speak out or whatever it is. You see, the nature of this famine is, it isn't food, but it's hearing. And there is the problem. The great problem is in the hearing. And the reason that they're not hearing is because the heart, the inner man, is not hearing. There is a problem. If your heart is right with God, your inner man is right, then your spiritual hearing is right. In other words, it actually means being deaf. That's how it actually speaks. It speaks of being deaf. Now, there are people who are deaf. They can't hear. That is a physical thing, and it's exactly the same, but it's in the spiritual. They're not able to hear. The tragedy is they may go to a meeting, they may come into this meeting, they might stay through the whole teaching, but they're unable to hear. You say to me, "Pastor, that sounds pretty dramatic, what you're saying." Well, let me prove this. How many do we see, or we have seen over the years, who have come into our meetings when we're online, and they're blessed, and they'll come back next week, they want to know the time and everything, and what do we find? A lot of the time, we don't hear or see any more of them. Yet they say the right things. They say they were blessed. What is happening there? Exactly what it says here in Amos. They are not able to hear. They may have said all the right things, but they are not able to hear. In other words, they cannot hear the revelations. They cannot hear. They cannot put it together. They have heard these words. They have listened. They have listened to the anointing, but they're not able to put it together. It's not spoke to the inner man, to the heart. It is not created a need within them, a desperation. It is not work within their hearts, them being able to hear God's voice. And that is exactly what Amos is raising here. Amos says it isn't a problem with the preacher, but it's those who are hearing. Now, we know that there are some preachers around who are preaching heresy, but what he's raising here in the context, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with the anointing. God is speaking. God is blessing. But they are not hearing. They can't hear. We get an insight of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And here the apostle says to the church at Thessalonica, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So there we are. The Apostle Paul takes great comfort that they have received the word, the preaching, but they've not received it as of a man, the vessel, but the word of God. And because they receive it that way, it works in them who believes. And that is how we to receive it. That is how we receive the word of God, not because of the vessel. Of course, God uses a vessel, but we receive it in the light of the anointing. This is God's word speaking to me. I have need of hearing this. And there is the difference. This is why I have always plugged it for years, that you have to come under the anointing, God's anointing. Of course, he uses a man. But the point is, it is the anointing that teaches us. And that is the key to it. Now, some hear that and some don't. Some understand that and obey that and live under that anointing. And there are others that don't. And the reason being is because Amos hits the nail right on the head. The days are coming, says the Lord, and they're here, they're with us, that I will send a famine on the land. So God says, I will send this famine. They don't want to listen. I have tried speaking to them. I have showed mercy and grace to them, but they will not have it. So I will send this land, this famine, on the land. And he says what this famine is, of hearing the word of the Lord. In other words, what is so awesome about this, the sovereignty of God has blocked their ears from hearing. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that scary. And yet, there are those who are completely blinded to that. They don't know. They think they hear, but they are not. And that is why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Now, to hear means, very simply, it describes the right way to hear. So that is what it means by the word to hear. It means it's a right way in which to hear. In other words, you have to go through the right channels in order to hear. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. Narrow is the way, few there be that find it. You have to go through the right channel. And what is the right channel? It is through the Holy Spirit, who gives us life and the new birth, that enables us to be able to hear. We know this so well, and I'll read it to you again. I make no apology in this. I often refer to this, but the parable of the sower. Turn with me to Matthew 13, verses 2 to 9. Matthew 13, verses 2 to 9. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So God has prepared the scene with Jesus' ministry. He has brought a huge multitude, and he's going to give them the parable of the sower, because it's one of the most important parables, and that's why he's called so many in which to hear this. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. So in other words, the word was sown, didn't do a thing, just fell by the wayside. Here come the birds, the predators, and they eat it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So that speaks of those whose hearts have not been touched. They're not changed. They are hard-hearted. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So hard hearts will never have any roots. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And the thorns speak of the things of this world. The world gets in and chokes the word of God, because their hearts are still in the world, just like Lot, his wife. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here it is. In other words, what he's saying, this is the right way to hear. This parable is a warning. This parable shows you how you hear. Good ground, which will yield a crop, 100, 60, and 30-fold. That is what he means. We also see something similar in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, verse 24, 25. Mark chapter 4, 24, 25. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now that seems a bit harsh, all of that. But that is God judging with regard to how you hear. Because he says, if you hear and you hold on, even though you've got little strength. He says, if you keep hearing, keep coming, keep under the anointing, keep with my word, persevere. He says, with the same measure you use, I will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So you cannot go wrong, brothers and sisters, with regard to this. Even though there's a famine in the land of hearing the word of God, he says, if you are faithful to this, more will be given you. In other words, he's revealing more of himself to you that flesh and blood cannot reveal. This is why you find yourself on your own. This is why we find not many want to follow us, because he's revealing himself to us. And when we talk to others or other Christians, it's not to criticize, it's not to put them down, but it doesn't take very long that you realize they don't see what you're seeing. They're not experiencing what you're experiencing. And it doesn't take long when you talk with them. But you always have the advantage to go away and pray for them, that God will reveal more of himself to them. But that's what it is. That's the reality of this walk. And I'm not going to apologize. I used to apologize for this years ago. I used to feel in bondage. I'm not anymore. Because I've read the word. I've read what God is doing. And he's going to give more and more and more of his word. When we receive more of his word, what are we receiving? More of Jesus, the Spirit of God. Because you can't separate his word from him. He is the word and was the word made flesh. And so, when you push him away, and Christians do this when they say, I've had enough, or I'm going to start trusting more in the arm of the flesh. It's not worth this faith walk. What are they doing? They're pushing him away. And when you push him away, it becomes harder and harder to hear him. And this is tragically what we see with some of our brothers and sisters. They're not hearing. And when you talk to them, or you fellowship with them, or you meet up with them, you soon realize what has happened to them. There's not that spiritual sharpness anymore there of hearing. And I don't know about you, but it just causes me, Lord, never let that be me. Whatever it takes, keep me with the word of God and hearing and with the meetings and under the anointing. Yes, even me as a preacher and your pastor, I have to ask for that. I'm not exempt. We're all the same. We're all one in this. That's the whole point. But when you push him away, it becomes harder and harder to hear him. And that is so fearful, because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God that we know and that God keeps reminding us. Have you ever wondered why there are certain things that come up so often in the preaching? We can hear it coming up so often. There's a reason for it. God doesn't make a mistake, because he's getting it from our heads to our hearts, because it's about how we hear. That's why our meetings are so important. That's why we need to pray for our meetings, pray for the word, pray for each other, so that when we come into his presence, we are sharp at hearing. Because that is what's preserving us in this great falling away now that is taking place. And that is why we have prophecies like Amos. The anointed word is to draw you, to bring you closer to the Lord, so that you don't retract. You don't move away. You see, every day is a day of growing closer with the Lord. That is why yesterday has done its work. Last week has done its work. Today, the Lord, our meeting, coming under the anointing, is to draw you closer to Him. And so every time we come together in fellowship, I am a step closer than I was 2 hours ago. That is what's so wonderful about all of this. No, we might not see the outward signs straight away, but in time and over the months and the years, we realize what it's doing to us, how it's changing us, conforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the clay in the potter's hand, molding us, raising us up, vessels of honor for His glory. But the tragedy is we have got a famine in the world. There is a famine amongst Christendom. And it's hearing the word or the words of the Lord. And because they sometimes push Him away through unforgiveness or unconfessed sin, or whatever it is, because that's what it does. It pushes Him away because He's most holy. Then the problems come in hearing the words of the Lord. Sadly, there are some who've come to the meeting, repented, listened to a meeting or two, listened to the word, and then you don't see them anymore. Why? Because it was uncomfortable. The word was challenging. And they became offended. Because that's what this will do. If you don't stay with this, this word will offend you sooner or later. Because the nature of it is a two-edged sword. But if you stay with it, you persevere, just like the Philadelphian church, that word in your life and my life is going to get you ready for when Jesus appears in the heavens and says, come up. That is what is commendable to Him. Why has the Lord designed it like that? Why is it like that? Because Amos tells us the state of Christendom will be of hearing the words of the Lord. Now God knows that that is not for us to judge. Only the Lord Jesus will do that. But what we are to do is to remain faithful what He has given us. God has made no mistake. And if God wanted us to know anything or to do anything, He is going to reveal it to us. There is something, as I close now, that I thought about as I was preparing this. I thought, Lord, this message that I have been preaching for over 40 years has not changed. It is still the same message. It is still what you want me to preach and what you want us to hear. It hasn't changed. Now, that speaks volume to me. That shows a loving Heavenly Father who does not make any mistake. Because God's love, if we were going off course or there were some things not right, God's love and mercy would have a way of speaking and correcting. And I rest my case. And I rest in that, in the Father's love, because God's love does not give us wrong things. God never makes a mistake. And you can rest in that. That is part of that rest that we have by faith, knowing that my Heavenly Father will never give a wrong thing to me or anything that would destroy me or hinder my walk. On the contrary, he'll move heaven and earth for those who hunger for his word, who want to hear. Heavenly Father, you love us with such an everlasting love. Nothing will pluck us out of your hand, out of your protection, out of your will. You are attentive to us night and day, every second, every moment. You are always there, the same yesterday, today, and forever, because your word says that you change not. Father, there are times when we just haven't the words to express our thanks and gratitude. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters, for those, Lord, who once fellowshiped with us, who aren't with us. Lord, we hold on that there are going to be some prodigal sons who will return. Father, you place it within our hearts not to give up on them. And we know, Lord, that there will be more. We know that your word is going to the four corners of the earth in these last days, because there is a remnant who are hungry, who will hear the words of the Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for teaching us from this prophecy of Amos. We had need of hearing this. It is a warning, but it is also God's love and mercy and grace. None of us deserve any of this. You chose us from the foundation of the world. So be with us, bless, preserve, keep each one of us till we come together in fellowship. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by from all evil, he will keep your